The book of Malachi, chapter 4. In the first three verses of chapter 4, quickly, we see God's loving resolution. Now, we've said that Malachi means my messenger. And God is having Malachi proclaim his message of love. And Paul has proclaimed the word of God to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And God's just trying to preach to the people through Malachi himself. And he says in the very first verse, this is God's loving resolution. He says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch." You see, as he comforts a believer, this is what he's saying. There's a day coming when the Lord's coming back. Boy, that's a great comforting promise. He's coming again. But on that day, not everybody's going to be glad. There's going to be a lot of people sad. On that day of the Lord, it's going to be a day of judgment for the sinners. The wicked and the ungodly are going to be thrown into the fire. The Bible says they're going to be put into an oven. Yea, the Bible almost acts like a forest fire is going to even burn the tree and all its leaves, its stem, its roots, and going to burn it up like a forest fire. Yet they're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. The book of Isaiah chapter 30 verse 18 says, "The Lord is a God of judgment." They've had an opportunity to be saved, but they rejected his message. They rejected his love. God's a just God. He's given everybody an opportunity to be right with God. He's given mercy. He's extended grace. But they wouldn't receive him. So for the sinner, the day of judgment is going to be a sad day, not a glad day. There will be no more hope for future life for them. They're going to be tormented forever and ever and ever. Listen what God said in Isaiah chapter 5. Will you listen to this? Isaiah chapter 5 verse 4. Listen. "What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it?" That's what he said. What could have been done more in my vineyard that I have not done in it? God's saying, what more could I have done for the sinner to be saved that I've not done? You know what? I do things maybe halfway sometimes, but God has never made a mistake. When he does it right. What more could he have done? He's done everything he needed to do. He sent his son to bleed and die on a cruel Roman cross, bore their sins up Calvary's hill. They don't realize their sins are paid for, but they won't receive Christ and repent of their sins, and their sins are already paid for. So they reject his love. They reject his forgiveness. They reject him as the sin bearer and the one that would be their redeemer. And because they reject him, one day they'll die and go to hell. But for you and I that are saved, the day of his return is a day of joy for the saints of God. For the saints of God, the second coming is a glad day. The Bible says in verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." You see, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. Have you ever been lonely at night? Have you ever been sickly at night and fearful? Have you ever been in the middle of the night longing to see the sunshine and its brightness get up? I've been there in the middle of the night saying, "Oh God, it's 3:30. I can't wait for 6:30 or 7. God, it's 4:30. It's 5. Oh, let the sunshine get up. I long to see it." Amen. Hey, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. You and I that are redeemed, living in the blackness of night, in the sin-cursed world, filled on every hand, amen. We're almost completely dark, it feels like. But one glorious daybreak, Jesus is going to come back and rescue us, ransom us, and redeem us, and take us home. And for you and I that are in the blackness of night, we are going to be glad. It will be a great day of joy when the Son of Righteousness arises. The Bible says when he comes, he's going to come, hallelujah, with healing in his wings. For the saint that is troubled tonight, there will be peace. For the saint that is sick tonight, there will be healing. Praise God. For the saint that feels like he's ready to give up, glory to God, there'll be a future day, a great day for all of eternity.
Friend, there'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more devil for you and I to contend with. Hallelujah. We preached our last message and prayed our last prayer. We're with him now in glory. What a blessed day that's going to be. He says, this is his illustration. He said the saints of God are going to be like the calves of the stall. You know what a stall-fed calf will do? I know just about enough to know about a farm to do this. You get him in the stall, he's all cooped up, he's being raised up there, and when you open that pen for the first time, he's a leaping and a jumping, and he runs into the pasture land, and you watch him. He'll land on his front 2 feet and kick up his back ones, and when they come down, his front ones is coming up. And man, he just goes plumb crazy. God said that when you and I meet that day, we're going to be like stall-fed calves, loose for the first time. You just think I've shouted before. You just think I've had a good time before. You just think for the bridge you've run before. You just wait till you get there. Hallelujah. We're going to have a time like stall-fed calves let loose. Woo! You may say, preacher, that scares me to death here. It's all right. You probably ain't going. You'd be miserable in a place where little Judy Hollifield's landed. Never walked a day on this earth. Hey, man, but when she hit the streets of glory, she hit him with 2 legs that walk. Hey, when the deaf man got there, he could hear. When the blind man got there, he could see. When the dead man got there, he was alive. Glory to God, it's going to be a time of rejoicing. You ain't going to calm that crowd down. That's my kind of crowd, amen. We're going to worship and shout and praise God forever and ever and ever. God's trying to comfort this crowd. Do you see it? A day of joy for the saints. He says you're going to go and the soles of your feet are going to trod and trample the wicked. Preacher, are we going to walk on sinners? I ain't them that oppressed you, them that afflicted you, he delighteth to send tribulation to them that trouble you. That's what he said in the New Testament. He said in Romans 16:20 that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That's who we're going to walk on. Him that bothered us in the middle of the night. Him that tempted us and tormented us. Tried to tear our families up. Hallelujah. One day we've got the last life on him. Amen. We'll see him picked up by the nape of the neck, by the seat of his breeches, and thrown out in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. And you and I say, bow, buddy. Hallelujah. I used to do business with you, but you're a goner now. I'm on the Lord's side. Hallelujah to God. It's a day of joy for the saints. That's God's loving resolution. Verse 4. Then he gives us God's loving reminder. He says, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him on Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgment. He says, Malachi, you remind them of the law of Moses. That's the word of God. You want to be comforted and helped? Remember to read the word of God. It'll be a real helper. He wants you to know about his promises. He wants you to know about his covenants. He wants you to know about his truths. He said, remember the law of Moses, the word of God. Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He says, before I come again, this will be a sign to you. I'm going to send Elijah. You remember the prophet Elijah? He stood before Israel in a great time of crisis. I believe, according to this verse, that when we get during the tribulation, that one of those two witnesses that's going to stand up in Revelation chapter 11 is going to be Elijah. Because he said, before I come back, I'm going to have a forerunner. When I come the first time, I had John the Baptist. When I'm coming the second time, Elijah's for sure going to be one of those two. I'm going to send him. He stood in a time of crisis before, faithful and true, and I know in the great tribulation, it'll be a time that the world has never seen, and he's going to stand, amen, and preach. He says in Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the great street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And that they dwell, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. God's going to allow them to stand again. God's going to allow them to die. God's going to allow them to be raised again, and going to raise them right up into glory. And the whole world's going to watch satellite TV and internet and on webcams, and they're going to see this thing live. And many's going to see it, and they're going to fear. God in these two verses reminds them of Moses. That's the law. Reminds them of Elijah. That's the prophets, amen. Do you realize how many times these men are intertwined in the Bible? They live 600 years apart, but they serve the same God we serve today. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. The God of Moses is the God of Darren. Hey, the God of Elijah is the God of Darren. Hallelujah. What God did for them, hallelujah, taking care of them, He can take care of me. He can take care of you, friend. It'll be all right. Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. And Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 8 through 18, both stood on Mount Horeb serving the Lord. Moses and Elijah both appeared before the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter number 17. Moses, I believe, and Elijah are those two witnesses that stand in the time of great tribulation. The Lord says in verse number 6, that Elijah will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their fathers. What he's saying is Elijah and Moses' stand on the word of God will lead the world into faith and into repentance. Hey, when the world rejects this last attempt of God to reach man with his word, God will smite the earth. He says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The Old Testament ends with an invitation and the threat of a great curse. Between the Old Testament and the New, there's a period of 400 years of complete silence. And Jesus is born. That great curse, Jesus has come to take it away, that we might be redeemed. He's going to be the one. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. He's going to be made a curse for us, so we wouldn't have to be cursed. As the Bible, the book of Revelation in the New Testament closes, it closes with an invitation to be saved and the grace of God being extended. It is about Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, who took away our curse, telling us that if we would call on Jesus, we could be saved. Friend, as I close, I'll ask you a question. Will you be there? Will you be in heaven? I'm glad to report I'll be there. I was studying years ago. Preacher James Black in Pennsylvania was on his way to the post office. He was in a hurry and he was walking, and he decided to take a shortcut through an alleyway. And when he went down that alleyway, he noticed the misery and the poverty of the people. He had never been down that street before. He saw a little girl on the front porch sweeping the dust off of the house, which looked more like a shack than it did anything else. The preacher, as he walked, seeing her, stopped. And he said, Young lady, do you go to Sunday school? And she said, Sir, I don't have anything fit for a young lady to wear to church. But if I did, I'd be delighted to go to Sunday school. The preacher went home, told his wife and his congregation. You know what they did? They got some money, went and got her some dresses, and come back to where she lived down that poverty-stricken street, and delivered those clothes, to which she grabbed and wept and said, I'll be at church Sunday morning. and for a few months, and yea, close to a year, every Sunday, when the roll was called in her Sunday school class, she said, I'm here. Then there came a day when Pastor Black called her name. Bessie? No reply. Bessie? No reply. He thought, oh God, has her daddy beat her again? Oh God, has he told her she couldn't go to church again? When the service was over, he went to Bessie's poverty-stricken house, only to discover she was very sick. And he went and summoned the doctor. And the doctor came and made the house call, and he said that Bessie has advanced pneumonia, and at best she has a few days to live. Pastor Black was brokenhearted and left her house that day, and God began to give him some words to his heart. When he sat down, he began to write those words out, and he put them to music. And the song that he wrote was first sung at Bessie's funeral. It goes something like this. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I want to tell you tonight, church, I'm going not on my merits, but I'm going based on His work on the cross for me. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Bless His holy name, church. You stand to your feet tonight.